Welcome to another test episode here on HorribleNight.com. This is the Justin show, the Justin's podcast, because I'm Justin Lacey here with Justin Gifford, and we tend to have a little bit different flavor conversations, and I want to see what happens when we just turn these mics on and talk about video game stuff, because his world's a little bit different than mine, and it's kind of fun to see where we collide in the middle here. So, Justin Gifford, how the hell are you?
I'm a little sleepy.
I got you up late. But we've been trying to do this, and we're going to do this.
I know. We've got special dispensation.
Yeah. And also, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. I'm excited to be back.
Welcome back to all of us. I mean, we're still kind of getting rolling again. I know you and I were excited to bring back Horrible Night, and excited for you to come back after the new gamer in your family was born.
It's true. And boy, I'll tell you what, when I'm playing a game, if his, we call it his crate just because we have two crates for the dog, so might as well call it the thing he sleeps in during the day as a crate. But if it's not turned like totally around, man, he wants to watch dad play video games.
Oh, I was gonna say, he wants to watch dad, but not the video game.
No, he wants to watch the video game.
Oh, cool.
It's all the shiny colors.
Very good. Very good. He's off to a good start. So, so let's, I don't even know what you've been playing lately. What's your gaming world look like?
Well, at the end of the summer, Nicole from Pure Geekery said she wanted to play Deus Ex, Human Revolutions, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I should go back and play that. So I went back and played it on Extra Hard. It's still awesome. I beat it.
What are the modifiers in Extra Hard?
Well, I don't know. It's hard. Like, the game was hard. The normal setting on that game was hard.
Yeah, but like, they limit your ammo? They limit your...
You take more damage. Okay. There's, I don't know if the bad guys are more alert, but they do more damage. That's probably pretty much it.
Okay.
If I had to guess, but I played it on the hard setting, which was very hard.
So, and I've seen you talk about this on somewhere, I'm guessing Facebook or Twitter. But you mentioned that Nicole was playing it, and so you wanted to play it. So did you guys like talk on your breaks, or
no,
was it just
no? There was no communication.
She just kind of spurred the idea. Okay,
it was like, oh, well, I'll play it too, and then we both got done at roughly the same time, and that was really all there was to it. It was sort of a retro co-op,
sure,
solo,
right?
Kind of, yeah.
That's a genre of video games,
right? Yeah, right, totally now. Making that up.
But yes, so yeah,
played that.
Still holds up then, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Especially because the next game that I played after that, I played some Destiny. I don't want to talk about Destiny right now.
That's okay. That's okay. Plenty of people will talk about Destiny.
Yeah.
We even talked about Destiny on a previous podcast at HorribleNight.com.
I'm not going to add anything new. So then I picked up Alpha Protocol for like $12 because of an article I read that said, look, in terms of morality games or games that have a morality monitor, that Alpha Protocol actually does something unique and then it doesn't make any judgments on the way that you play. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Even if this game, which I pre-ordered and then canceled the pre-order because it was supposed to not be that great, isn't that great, that's an interesting mechanic and it's $12.
Yeah.
So I am now on my second playthrough of it.
Oh, and shit.
For a 5-year-old game, it's pretty good. I mean, it's got some rough edges, and I'll do a more complete write-up later. I'm enjoying it.
Very cool.
Obviously.
No, I mean, I heard like that it did. I heard that Alpha Protocol did a lot of interesting things. It missed the mark, like, to keep it from being a great game.
Absolutely.
But overall, did enough interesting stuff that it's probably a game that's worth revisiting. I never tried it because it also got a really bad rep right out of the gate. Like, is because people had a lot of high expectations of it, and some of its parts fell pretty flat, and people like kind of started making fun of it. And then I want to say, you know, as the dust settled, like lower level heads came across, like, no, it's probably still worth playing. So
I think it's definitely worth playing again for $12. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it's a, I don't know, 20 hour plus game, fairly deep RPG.
So, yeah. What about that morality system stands out? Like what, as a Mass Effect fan, tell me on the morality system.
The original article that got my attention on this pointed out that essentially when you make a morality choice in Mass Effect or, that's really the big one. I mean, it's mainly a BioWare thing, but there are other games that do that. They're really not only steering you one way or the other, no matter how much that reporter deserved to be punched, that's still a renegade action.
Yeah.
In this game, it's like, if you want to partner up with the terrorist, because that's really what a spy would do in this case, mm-hmm. that's fine. Nobody's going to judge you. It just affects how things turn out.
Okay.
But there's no, like, red flash, like, boom. You know, when you pull the... That was my renegade sound.
It's much more satisfying when I get to pull the button. Sorry. So a lot more interesting, like in the gray areas then. And
yeah,
I mean, but
you can be complete. So the morality judge in that game is a sociopath. And it also has one of the best sidekicks ever because he is completely insane.
That's good.
And that's a lot of fun.
So good characters. So what are the rough edges? What was its problem? Why?
I think it's probably on the same engine as Oblivion.
Yeah.
Which was beautiful when it came out, but it's aged. The sneaking animation is horrible. I mean, it's like his head is down below his ass, but he's sort of like bent over and takes these tiny little mincing steps. We'll have to make a GIF of it because it's hysterical. And then there's some of the things that you ran into with the original Mass Effect where the gunplay is a dice roll instead of actual skill. So, you know, when you're billing yourself as an espionage RPG, it's hard to complain about that they're using a dice roll instead of skill. But at the same time, that's still frustrating. Like, oh, you're giving me the illusion that I'm really in control, and actuality, I'm just sort of in control.
Oh, gotcha. That's a little weird. I'm reading over a review here, just trying to pull out what, obviously, at 5 years later, the graphics are going to stand out, but sounds like the big things pointed out in this review are the gunplay and technical issues.
Yeah, there are also some passive skills that you can get that will randomly trigger sometimes. They've got a real long reset rate, mm-hmm. a real long cooldown, and you will not be in anybody's vision cone, but they'll trigger, and then you don't have them when you are in some place where you don't want somebody to see you or hear you or a camera to see you.
Cool. Yeah, so this was Obsidian. Obsidian made this. They're kind of mm-hmm. known for doing, like, sequels to great RPGs, like, so they did Knights of the Old Republic 2,
which I loved.
They did Fallout New Vegas, they did Dungeon Siege 3, and they did the new South Park game. But everything that they have done, like, usually they'll get called out for it. Like, there's a lot of novel ideas in here, but yeah, again, it's just like that. Extra layer of polish, like, the games always tend to be a little bit buggy and just a little bit rough, holding them down a notch. And so this is, I think, yeah, this was kind of, back in 2010, this is one of those that kind of set that stage for, because Fallout New Vegas came out the same year and was buggy as hell, but has been patched to greatness at this point. So, that makes a lot of sense that...
I think that's a fair assessment of them. Like, there are some really novel ideas.
So they are.
But it's got some rough edges.
Let's keep digging. Let's keep clicking the internet. So they came from the ruins of Black Isle Studios, which did Baldur's Gate and the Icewind Dale series. So that's where their RPG roots are. So, oh, and Oh, you know, that little game called Planescape Torment that everyone in my dorm was obsessed with and I never understood, but understand that it's supposedly quite awesome. So,
what was it? Was there too much reading?
Probably. It did. I remember, like, I glanced at it and I was like, hey, that looks like Diablo. But you guys are stopping to talk a lot. So, that's interesting. I wonder, since I don't have it on 360, let's see if this came out for PC, if this is a...
Yeah, you can get it for PC on Steam. $15.
Nice. Yeah, I might check that out, because, yeah, like I said, historically people have been like, if you can see past this shit, it's worth playing. Yeah, so.
If you're patient through the first segment, it's worth playing. The other thing that I really do like about it, I mean, there's a lot of things that I really like about it, but the boss fights are like old school boss fight hard, but without being cheap.
Cool.
Mostly. I mean, I yelled at the console for cheating a couple of times, but that's,
you would just got done with Deus Ex, or we just got done talking about Deus Ex. Does it feel like a Deus Ex? Cause I'm getting like
a little bit
a little cyber vibe here.
It suffers in some comparison.
Okay. Fair enough.
But that's because Deus Ex, I feel like, really nailed the action stealth RPG.
Gotcha.
Alpha Protocol was 4 years beforehand. So, cool. But yeah, there was some, significant similarity between them.
Gotcha. Any other games you want to give a shout out to?
Well, always Titanfall.
What's going on with Titanfall these days? You still playing regularly?
It's an absolutely awesome game. Right. No, I had to take a break because I've been playing Alpha Protocol.
Gotcha.
Also, Lightning Strike wiped out 2 of my TVs. So
that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, we bought one new one, and that went upstairs. So downstairs, I sit in a camp chair about 2 feet away from a 26-inch monitor in order to play on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So we're waiting for Christmas.
Gotcha.
So anyway, less Titanfall. Still a great game. It's fast. Cool. It's action. Giant robots smashing people. But like I said, the college kids are back. And
see if you've overcome the college kids or not.
I will have, when I do go back to playing, I will have several days of, okay. Oh my God. Or I can't throw this controller. It was $60.
is a downside to this.
And finally, there was a free freeware called It Moves, which is a...
I don't know this one.
A three-quarter view probably Super Nintendo pixel art level.
Mm-hmm.
So 16-bit pixel art.
Is it It Moves and Yet It Moves?
Oh, I thought it was just It Moves.
All right, that's...
And I can pull up the link.
Okay.
But it's really freaking creepy.
Okay, I like creepy. So how'd you get it?
I honestly have no... I have no idea where I found it.
All right.
It just... I think it was probably a Twitter thing, and I was like, man, this game is really... scary, and it's more of, it's not a flash adventure, like mm-hmm. there's some agency that you have over the game, but there's also, you can't do a lot. You can click and look at things, and that's about it.
Looks creepy for sure.
It is creepy.
Cool. Huh. Well, how about that? You've found me something new to look at.
I found you 2 new things to look at.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you reminded me of Alpha Protocol. Let's be honest. I knew Alpha Protocol, but I'd forgotten to actually take it seriously again. So, all right. Let's see. Do you know anything about a game called Gods Among Us?
I did at one point.
Okay, so probably stands out. It's got some amazing graphic, amazing pixel art. And a pretty cool, like, sci-fi trailer of, kind of looks like a Star Trek, Star Wars type of setting as far as, like, spaceships and stuff. But really, the premise is you're a part of this crew, this crew of people that may or may not like each other, like mercenaries that have been thrown together because they have complementary skills, and it's a, you know, a future you're fighting against, like some, I don't know the name of it, but some empire type association that is like trying to control people, and you're kind of rebellious, and anyway, the plot doesn't matter other than sci-fi Star Wars type of stuff. Very hot. You're playing as like a group of Han Solos, if I had to call it anything. It is an adventure game in that you basically all actions in the game are you just click kind of text options. You're presented with some options based on what you choose. Time advances, and but the whole game is a bunch of just harrowing scenarios. The first level is you are on this space station or spaceship, and your team is trying to hack into this computer system. You have taken 4 or 5 hostages. So you've got one guy that's trying...
Oh! Yeah. Sorry, I just realized I did read an article about this.
It's intense.
It looks intense.
And it is hard as hell because, you know, at first I didn't realize that when you play it, time only advances when you're making choices. I thought like everything was moving at all times, so I was like trying to make choices happen very quickly, which I made me die very even faster. And then
so it's semi turn based. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is. It is turn based. And
okay.
And yeah, so you're just like presented in these just harrowing situations. You're trying to survive, and you have to make very tough choices, and most of them you end up not being very moral choices. And like I said. Yeah, the gods are watching, not gods among us. Way to go, dumbass.
I was really confused because, like, man, I thought that was the superhero game.
Gods will be watching. Let's get the name right and start this over. No. So gods will be watching. I apologize. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
And anyway, I got caught up more in the scenarios themselves. And so when the game came out, it was basically impossible, and that's how the developers wanted it. They not only, you know, are there, you have to kind of take the right path and make the right decisions to, you know, it's kind of like a spinning plate scenario where, like I said, you've got one guy that is like in charge of like keeping up your firewall. You've got one guy that is trying to steal the information. You've got one guy that is holding off the guards in the hallway that are approaching, and you have to then you have to maintain all these hostages and make sure that they don't get so comfortable that they try to challenge you, and they don't get so uncomfortable that they just run for it and die. And so you need to keep them alive and keep them sane while, you know, negotiating with the guards, telling them to stay back or shooting at them, giving them warning shots, you know, making sure the firewall stays up, but you're also taking enough of a hacking risk to get big chunks of data. And so you're just managing all this stuff every turn. You kind of have to make a choice of which one you're going to check in on, and because if one fails, the whole thing fails. So that's hard enough on its own, but of course they also worked in like random events will occur, like just that, you know, the hostages this time just maybe just you can't work with them at all and they have to die. And so you might do everything else right, but because of some random case, you will fail. And
it sounds like my job.
It's like they're trying to just base it on more like how you would realistically handle those scenarios and how some things are just out of your control. And let's just say I want to say there's probably 6 or 7 missions. I could be wrong. I got the second mission, which is a torture scene where you've been captured and try to have to, you know, survive for 20 minutes by telling a combination of lies and truths and trying to make sure you keep your pain threshold down, but only by, like, you know, paying attention to the visual cues of your character. And it's intense.
And it's pixel art.
Yes, yes. And like I said, originally they had the one difficulty setting and it was way too hard. They patched in a bunch of like simpler ones where basically I was playing through with the random stuff turned off. but all the rest of the difficulty at its regular levels. So it's like, I just want to figure out how to play this game, and then you can start throwing shit out of my control at me. So it was one of those games that I respect the design of it, but I'm not sure if I had fun playing it, but I'm curious if it sounds interesting to you now.
I think I would enjoy trying it. So I can say I played it, because I do get a little bit of a kick out of playing games on really hard settings or very hard games, because I'm competitive that way. Mm-hmm. But that said, I almost, you know, gave up on Civilization way back in Civilization 3.
I thought you meant in general Civilization. It's like,
yeah, well, I give up on Civilization in general on a daily basis. but way back in Civilization 3, because I was like, oh, I'll put this on like level 5 difficulty. I've never played a Civ game. And you imagine how well that went.
Yep.
I think it would be a game that I would like to say I have played.
Cool. Watch for a sale then, I would say. But and the only other game, so we recently played Gauntlet here on one of our live stream nights, and
which was hysterical.
I was gonna say, so did you watch our video there?
I did. I laughed a lot.
And were you a Gauntlet fan growing up?
I would say I wasn't really a Gauntlet fan. I feel like there was a significant jump in my understanding of complexities of games somewhere around junior high, mm-hmm. of games, excuse me. So I didn't really get that Gauntlet was trying to make RPG dungeon crawl into an action game.
Uh-huh.
So the first Gauntlet, I think, even though I played it way back on Commodore 64 with my brother, including Wizard Needs Health, I don't think I really enjoyed it till, what the heck, was it just Gauntlet 64? Gauntlet Legends.
Yeah, those were the ports of the arcade remakes that they were doing at that time.
Yeah, we had that, which I enjoyed. so, yes, I would say I'm a lay Gauntlet fan.
Do you have any, obviously you've seen our video, and I wrote a review, a Reflex review of it, but with the recent game that comes out, did you have any questions or concerns about it, like any hesitations before you would play that game?
The one thing that jumped out at me, because that's always seemed, I don't even know, as I'm saying this, I don't even know if this is legitimate, because I'm thinking about Diablo and all the menu options and things that are in there, but watching you guys play and then watching another video review of that being played, the amount of different weapon options, mm-hmm. That are available, how fluid is that, like to swap between, or fluid or weapon options or spell options or combinations of the two?
So the,
how fluid is that?
The three characters that are not the wizard, they're very fluid in that you basically, I like the fact that each character has a little different default controller setup. Like, I believe the archer uses more of the shoulder buttons, and the warrior, for example, uses more of the face buttons, and the Valkyrie does too. And so they've made sure that it feels right for each character based on the actions you're doing. Like just using the triggers for doing bow shots, that makes more sense than just tapping the face button. And so it can be a little confusing at first, but once you're in the shit, like it makes sense quick, because you quickly you learn what works and what doesn't work. So there wasn't much frustration there. The wizard was actually really daunting. So this was made by the guys that made the game Magicka, which was a little wizard simulator that it was more fun to, you know, you basically punch in a combination of spell keys that represent different elements. I believe in that game you have 6 elements. And you kind of type in a combination to cast a spell, and some of those spells will just kill you. Like I would summon a meteor, and it would just fall, it crash down on me. So it's just like there's a little bit of that as a basis for the wizard, and that you've got it. You basically, I believe you have three spell buttons, and the different combinations of two of those will make, you know, a lightning bolt versus an ice bolt versus a fireball, that kind of thing.
And right.
When I was going through the tutorial, which it makes you play the tutorial section for every character before you play the game, they're really quick, but it throws a lot at you at once. It was a little intimidating to the point where I didn't want to play the wizard. But it turns out when you cast a spell or when you put in a spell combination, it puts it in your quick spell slot too. So once you've entered it, you can just tap the quick spell and like, so you just launch fireball after fireball after fireball.
Right.
And
right.
So the wizard is amazing. It's like it's probably the overpowered character of the four, and everybody I've said has had a blast playing it, and that he was the last one alive every time. So like I said, that tutorial can be a little intimidating, but I mean, don't worry about it. Once you're in the shit of Gauntlet and there are enemies respawning all around you, you quickly figure out what works and what doesn't. So
well, it also reminded me of what was that, Ravensoft, I think. The X-Men games, and was it the X-Men Legends? Is that right?
No.
The same guys who did Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
Ultimate Alliance. Yeah. It sort of reminded me of that, and I think the original Gauntlet was probably a precursor for it. So.
Yeah.
But you know, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's, and I think it's definitely like when you were thinking about getting it, I just make sure you have game sessions lined up with friends. There's no, although Jordan was having fun with it online with strangers, apparently works pretty well, but definitely a game to play with friends. So
gotcha.
All right, let's see, game industry stuff. You and I, we kind of just throw headlines at each other about every other day of like, did you see this, did you see this. So we'll see what's stuck here. Are you still watching Defiance?
I have all of the second season on my DVR. I haven't watched it yet, so I feel like that kind of sums up my feelings for it.
Okay.
I will get to it.
But not an urgent watch. Got it.
Yeah.
But I was surprised to see that it got renewed for a third season. So it's, I mean, it did sound like people were saying that show has gotten better. I was not too impressed by the first like four episodes I watched.
Oh, it's definitely got better since the first four episodes. And let's face it, Julie Benz is amazing.
Yeah. I have differing opinions on her, but Dexter kind of made me feel a certain way about her. So, so my question: we all used to play the game Defiance. Is that still like, I know it's a free to play game, but are they still tying it into the show? Do you know? Seems like a lot of work for little return.
I have not put that into my system in. When the hell did that come out?
Defiance
last
is...
fall?
Yeah.
Maybe? Okay, so let's say, like, end of last summer, I played it for a couple of months. I thought it was kind of a half-assed. I've determined that I'm not crazy about the standard MMO structure anyway.
Sure.
But it was... I don't know. I wasn't blown away by it, so I don't know.
No, it's fine, but it's just like, I wonder if they're like... So it looks like September 25th of this year, they announced that a new little expansion pack is coming with seven new missions spanning over Silicon Valley and Paradise, four new enemies, new pursuits, new contracts. So there's still
Trion. Trion also cut a bunch of employees.
Yeah, they're kind of always up and down. They kind of live on the edge as far as their MMOs go. I mean, they've got Rift out there. It looks like, I think Archeage is new, but they try some different stuff, and so it looks like they're okay. So there's season two missions built into the game. I'll be curious to see if they keep it up through the third season, because my first reaction was, is the show gonna outlast the game? And that would have
the show is better than the game.
No.
I wouldn't
have picked that, honestly, from
praise, but
from our beta experience. So all right, let's you and I kind of had a Facebook exchange about this, and we have neither one of us have played Alien Isolation yet. You've had your heart broken by the series a number of times, and
let's you try and harden your heart, but it's like your first love. Like, I remember seeing Alien, the first one. Mm-hmm. My parents, one, like, it was just like a special thing because it was rated R, and I was like 6. So I love that whole series, and almost nobody has done a solid game adaptation. And
so you got your, I guess I was surprised after your Colonial Marines experience and just blindly judging you from the outside, maybe not the biggest horror game fan. I was surprised to see you kind of build up some expectations for Alien Isolation, I guess. Is that fair?
That is mostly fair. I don't think that I'm not a horror game fan. I haven't played many. That's it. I love horror movies. But really, I think most of the horror games I've played, I probably haven't played a horror game in, probably 10 years, maybe 15. I mean, we're going back to, Eternal Darkness, probably, which I know that was sort of action-y, but that was also pretty freaking scary.
Sure.
I think I played Silent Hill, a little bit of Silent Hill 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done some of it, and I own Amnesia. Mm-hmm. But it's not a conscious avoidance.
Gotcha.
To be honest, there haven't been a whole lot of horror games, I don't feel like.
They're the smaller games. I've gotten a yearly dosage of them for a little while here.
Well, and I love the hell out of both Dead Space and Dead Space 2. Mm. And I think those are more horror games than they are action games.
Definitely the first one, for sure. And half of the second one.
Half of the second one, yeah.
But I got a lot of entertainment out of Outlast for all its faults, but like that's kind of been the thing, is that there's just a certain limit to... like I said, you got to be willing to engage with horror games and get into them, but it also can only last so long. So we were going back and forth trying to figure out, like, you know, these Alien Isolation reviews are coming out. Are we going to get the game? I think we both pretty much settled on we'll get the game when the price drops. Is that fair?
That's 100% fair. Okay. This is a game that everybody's set on that $60-ish price point. And you want me to pay $60? Like,
well, here's
dinner at a half decent restaurant for me and my wife. Like, you want me to pay $60 for a game that I'm only gonna kind of enjoy?
And
new? And I'll sit on it.
The ironic thing is, you know, I kind of cringed at the idea of Alien Isolation being $60, and then later you come to find out it's a 20-hour game. And so I completely switched. I was like, okay, I can justify 20 hours for $60. That makes it a little easier to swallow. But I don't want a 20-hour horror game. Like,
that's the thing. If it was a 20-hour light RPG, okay, sure. But a 20-hour horror game, and the thing that is really scary, it's the same thing, and it's basically one random event after another. You're gonna hit sort of a horror saturation point.
Yeah. This stuff can only last so long without changing up. I feel like we're gonna get it. I'll probably cave in some moment of weakness very soon, just because I kind of get into Halloween in October and I need a fix.
I hear you.
But I have a feeling that it'll just get to the point where I'll get a 2 or 3 hour chunk where I really enjoy it. Where it does sound like it is capturing the alien feel, which is amazing, and I want to experience that in a video game. But once I kind of had that good chunk, and then I hit a wall with whatever nonsense kind of pulls me out of the moment, I probably won't go back to it. That's my prediction.
That sounds about right. And you know, my concern is, knowing me, I will slog through it and get pissed off and be like, well, using a lot of profanity.
The two things that excited me about it, though, to kind of end on a higher note, is one, apparently when you use the radar, so you hit a button and it pulls out the radar, and basically everything around your vision around the radar blurs, so you focus on the radar, but you kind of still kind of see what's going on, but not really.
Yeah.
And then you can like tap a button, and it'll focus on everything but the radar, but the radar will still be out. So it sounds like utilizing that, they really thought through that. So that sounded pretty cool. And then apparently the alien is kind of impatient with you, in that if you're just kind of like waiting an event and waiting for, you know, to figure out when you can make a run for it, if you wait there too long, not every time, but some of the time, it'll just find you and grab you and pull you out and be like, dude, you got to keep moving. So,
which is hysterical, especially because that's exactly how a predator would act.
Right. So if they, like, if they have those random moments versus like, because that's the other thing with horror games, I find those crevices where I can break the game. Like, I can't be seen over here. I'm basically invincible, and I will find my way through. But sounds like they designed around that a little bit, I'm sure. Like I said, in 20 hours, I'm going to find other issues with it. But I kind of want them to just be like, could someone else, can they give this to another developer or a director to cut down to like the 4-hour version and give me that prime example? And I would say I would be more likely to spend $60 on that tight 4-hour experience than on the extravagant 20-hour experience. But we'll see. All right. I think that's it for tonight. That's all we got time for. But we'll try this again as soon as we get time to check in again. So, Gifford.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
I'll let you run off. But thanks for hanging out, man.
Hey, absolutely. And we'll get to my PC issues at a later date.
Yeah, we've got another major topic that has remained unsaid on this site, but I'm excited to tackle it with you. So, till next time, the Justins are out of here. We'll see you.